Welcome to Bible Adventures. Help for today, hope for tomorrow.
Jesus is Lord of all. Jesus is Lord of all. No sin is too big, no problem too small. Jesus is Lord of all.
After Paul had left Priscilla and Aquila in Ephesus, a man named Apollos from Alexandria in Egypt came to Ephesus and started preaching in the synagogue. He was a learned Jew who was very familiar with the Old Testament scriptures. Although he preached John the Baptist's message of repentance and a coming Messiah, he hadn't heard anything about Jesus of Nazareth being the Messiah. By then Jesus had come to earth, was killed, raised from death, and was by then back in heaven. Aquila took Apollos to the side and told him the truth about the good news of Jesus. Even though Apollos was already a famous preacher, he humbly accepted this correction that the Messiah had already come. So the believers at Ephesus encouraged Apollos to become the leader of the church at Corinth. He went there, and being a Jew like Paul, Apollos was able to argue effectively with the Jews from their own scriptures that Jesus was the Christ, the Messiah. Thus he greatly benefited the church in Corinth. Let us learn from this story about Aquila and Apollos. All of us have some lack or defect in us. Let us correct each other privately and with humility and gentleness, and like Apollos, may we humbly accept correction too. Through this instruction and learning, all Christians can grow up to be mature and effective servants of Jesus Christ. In 52 AD, Paul set out again on a third missionary journey. He went overland again from Antioch in Syria to visit the churches in Galatia and Phrygia, which were in central present-day Turkey. In Acts chapter 19, there's no comment given about how the churches were getting along. However, Paul next travelled to the city of Ephesus on the west coast. Ephesus was a great city in New Testament times, but today there's nothing left of it but a pile of ruins.
Apollos, born and brought up in Egypt, knew only the preaching of John the Baptist. Being ignorant of Jesus and his death, resurrection and ascension into heaven, yet also fervent in spirit, he spoke and talked diligently the things he had heard from John the Baptist. And it came to pass that, in the process of time, Apollos came to the city of Ephesus and began to speak boldly in the Israelite synagogue. Meanwhile, Priscilla and Aquila had moved from Corinth to Ephesus. There they heard Apollos preach.
He's an eloquent speaker and seems to know the scriptures up to the time of John the Baptist.
He said, remember, that he preaches the message of John.
Could it be that he doesn't know about Jesus?
It doesn't seem possible, yet he does come from the distant land of Egypt.
Shall we invite him home with us and speak to him about Jesus?
Well, I'm sure Jesus and Paul would want us to.
You say his name was Jesus, born in Bethlehem?
Yes, and that fulfills prophecy concerning his birth.
He was scorned, spat upon, reviled, and nailed to the cross?
The minds of men could not devise more cruel and shameful things than were done to Jesus.
Well, that fulfills scripture. As to his resurrection, is it possible that his body was stolen from the tomb? Did anyone see him walk from the tomb alive?
That is one of the many instances where God's providence overrules all things. Caiaphas, the high priest, Annas, the ex-high priest, and other temple leaders wanted to make sure the body was not stolen. So they did the very thing that proves his body was not stolen and that he was resurrected. They placed 100 soldiers at the tomb to guard and make sure no one disturbed it. And they placed a seal on the rock entrance to the tomb. The guards saw an angel, bright as the sun, roll the huge stone from the tomb entrance and call for Jesus to arise and come forth.
I did hear something once, but I thought they said the guards swore that someone stole the body.
Caiaphas and Annas paid them to say that. A little ironic, isn't it? The 100 soldiers who were to make sure Jesus' body stayed in the tomb are actually unwilling proof that he was resurrected.
I suppose Jesus was seen after his resurrection.
By many people. They talked, walked, and ate with Jesus. They saw and felt the nail prints in his hands and feet. he was seen ascending into heaven. Now there can be no doubt but that Jesus is Christ, that he ascended to God the Father, and now intercedes in our behalf.
I believe. I was baptized by water. Now I want to be baptized by the Holy Spirit. Then I want to tell the whole world that the Messiah has come, and that they can be saved by believing and repenting.
For 3 months, Paul taught every Saturday in the Jewish synagogue in Ephesus. Due to increased opposition from the Jewish people, Paul and his disciples moved to a lecture hall, where Paul continued teaching for the next 2 years. This worked well for everyone, as the Gentiles could come and hear Paul preach every day of the week. By the end of this time, all the people living in the province of Asia had heard the gospel of Christ. During this same period of time, Paul's disciples went out and established churches at Colos and Laodicea in southern present-day Turkey. Through his Holy Spirit's power, God did amazing miracles through Paul in Ephesus. Many people were healed by simply believing and touching Paul's aprons or handkerchiefs that were brought to them after touching his body. Evil spirits were also driven out in the same way. While Paul was in Ephesus, a controversy arose about the Corinthian church about who was the greatest leader. Was it Paul or Apollos or Peter? The church was starting to fall into divisions through worldly values. Paul wrote his first letter to the Corinthians to correct some of the errors creeping into the church there. Paul's prayer for the Corinthian believers was to be perfectly united in Christ. Did this mean that they had to agree on every little matter? No, but they did need to agree on being unified in Christ on all the major matters, things like Jesus Christ is the Son of God. The Bible is authorized by God as His word and message, which we must obey. And salvation comes through faith in Jesus Christ alone. Believers must seek to overcome divisions between themselves and be united in faith, love, and obedience to Christ through the power and correction of the Holy Spirit. Paul taught them that their loyalty was always to Christ first, never a man. One group did say they followed Christ and not a Christian leader, but they did so in an attitude of superiority and pride, which continued to support divisions. By doing this, they too brought dishonor on Christ, because in claiming Christ was Lord of their own little groups, they were in effect denying that Christ was the Lord of the whole church, which he was. There is only one cure for pride. All members must humble themselves and look to Christ instead of themselves so they can forgive, care for, and pray for others who seem to be causing offense. Church leaders must concentrate on raising high the name of Jesus alone. In the days of the early church, most churches typically came under persecution from the outside, and as a result, these churches became stronger and zealous in making the gospel known. However, in these last days, Satan is working to destroy churches from the inside as well. One of Satan's major targets is undermining the truth of God's word and causing Christians to doubt its power and God-inspired genuineness. Churches are also often being infiltrated by people who aren't believers in Christ and who have no intention of becoming followers of the Lord Jesus. To protect its integrity, the church must take responsibility in discerning between true and false believers. We need to know how a counterfeit Christian differs from a genuine believer. Genuine Christians have been called by the Holy Spirit to believe in and become like Christ, as salvation begins with God. In 1 Peter chapter 2, the apostle reminds us that we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. True believers are beloved by God, their heavenly Father. Although God loves all people, only genuine Christians are his especially loved people. Those who've been washed in Jesus' blood have been set apart for God himself. God guards and watches over his beloved, so that when a believer stumbles, they have the assurance that God will keep them from falling. True believers are given three important gifts: mercy, peace, and love. These are byproducts of our progressive spiritual growth of being transformed into Christ's nature. Such attributes are very important when evangelizing to those who've never heard of a Savior from sin. A counterfeit Christian is someone who claims Christ as the Savior, but doesn't possess Christ as their very own personal Savior. Their nature hasn't been changed from their old ways of sinfulness. They've never placed Christ as the ruler of their life or really sought to follow his ways. As a result, the Holy Spirit doesn't know or operate within such people. Although these people may appear spiritually gifted or appointed by God to certain positions within the church, the surface presentation of their godliness is actually a mask of a hidden intention to serve themselves rather than God. After some time, a counterfeit Christian's real nature of pride and self-serving actions becomes evident, as their teaching, preaching, and their way of life shows them out of step with the true teachings of the gospel of Christ. Pretend Christians promote disunity and discord in the church, but pastors who desire love and unity among their fellowship of believers know that these are a most important factor in church growth. People are seldom keen to stay in churches that don't show everyone there a sweet fragrance of fellowship and kindness. After all, who wants to be part of a group that always seems to be fighting among themselves? The basic problem with false Christians is that they're spiritually dead, so they cannot bear any spiritual fruit. In time, they expose themselves by a lack of purity in such areas as a strong love of money and not being truthful in small matters, shifting doctrine away from Bible teaching and taking on an attitude of self-importance. They may also be deceitful, fall into immoral behavior, and show they have no respect for God. What can be done to counter the destructive work in churches that is caused by pretend Christians? God's people need to be motivated to contend earnestly for the faith, as listed in the book of Jude, in the second last book of the New Testament. Contenders for the gospel are those Christians who walk daily with Christ. To contend effectively, Christians must have a good knowledge and understanding of the Bible. It takes time and study to do this, and to learn to be led by God's Holy Spirit in explaining what the Bible means. Contenders should defend the deity of Christ, also Jesus' salvation by grace through faith and the truthfulness of Scripture. Yet not everyone will like us for doing so. We must not display a counterfeit spirit of superiority or judgment for those weaker in their faith, but speak the truth of God in kindness and love. We live our faith by being Christ-like in what we say, think, and do. It's clear that Satan has not succeeded in destroying the church by persecution from outside the church, but a warning remains. Satan has not stopped trying to destroy the Christian churches from within. One of his favorite attacks is to tempt preachers and congregations to weaken their stance in fully believing in the Bible. He also tempts believers to do good works to gain other people's favor, pursue security in this world, and turn away from our first love, Jesus Christ. In Matthew chapter 28, Jesus said, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." If Jesus has all authority, then Satan has none. The only authority Satan has over a believer's life is what we allow him to have. In Jude verse 20 it says, "But you, my friends, keep on building yourselves up in your most sacred faith. Pray the power of the Holy Spirit and keep yourselves in the love of God as you wait for our Lord Jesus Christ in his mercy to give you eternal life." The drama is from the Bible in Living Sound. You can also contact us through our website, www.bibleradio.org.au. Those addresses again, and the website, bibleradio.org.au. We're looking forward to hearing from you. You've been listening to Bible Adventures, and I hope you'll join me again next time.